शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। द मंथ ऑफ जनवरी इज डेडिकेटेड टू ब्रह्मा बाबा। एज वी ऑल नो दैट ऑन 18th ऑफ जनवरी 1969 ब्रह्मा बाबा लेफ्ट हिज मॉर्टल कॉइल, द फिजिकल बॉडी, एंड बिकेम एंजेलिक, बिकेम कंप्लीट। And became also the constant companion of Shiv Baba. But how did Brahma Baba become perfect so quickly? 1936 until 1969, you can say about 33 years. Within these 33 years, Brahma Baba became complete. Actually, Brahma Baba's soul, we can say, is the highest soul, the first deity soul of Sri Krishna, the first devotee soul who started devotion in Copper Age, and then also the first human being through whom God creates the new world, the great great grandfather of humanity, Prajapita Brahma. Actually, there were so many signs which were seen in Brahma Baba even before Baba got this knowledge. He had such a royal personality, and he used to deal with jewels, with diamonds. And therefore, for that, his business was with kings at that time in India, and also the Britishers. But there was so much royalty in him that whenever he used to meet those kings, they would tell him that God has made a mistake. Actually, you should have become the king because of his royalty, his wonderful personality too. But by mistake, he made you a businessman and made us the king. But Baba would always say, God does not make any mistakes. And it is true that in the drama that the first world emperor, he will not be a king at this end of Kali Yuga. He will be in his ordinary form, simple form, not the royal form. But the sanskars were very, very royal. And Baba had that speciality of royalty. And secondly, although he rose from a very simple family to be such a rich merchant, a rich businessman, right in one life itself, because his father was not a rich man, from a very simple family living in the village in Hyderabad, Sindh. But from his childhood, he showed those sanskars of royalty, of intelligence, and also of he was never lazy. He was always very, very active. And he had very big speciality of determination. Whatever he thought of, that he wanted to do it, he did it. It's not that he used to procrastinate or say, okay, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, after 1 year, after 10 years, no. Whatever he wanted to do, he had that determined thought so firm in him that he never went back from that determined thought. This was his very big speciality, which was visible even when after he became avyakt. Because when he used to talk to Baba, avyakt, Shiv Baba, Brahma Baba conversation, we hear in so many avyakt murlis that Brahma Baba is telling Shiv Baba, why aren't the children complete yet? Why are they taking so long to become complete, to become perfect? Why that much time? And Shiv Baba gives consolation to Brahma Baba and says, child, everything is planned according to the drama and everything is accurate. There's no question of why. But why did Brahma Baba say this to Shiv Baba? Why aren't the children becoming complete? Brahma Baba became complete so quickly. Why the children are not becoming yet? And it was all because of Brahma Baba's special sanskar, that whatever he wanted to do, he did it. He didn't postpone. He had the aim of becoming complete, and he became complete. Before, he didn't know all this. He was in search of the truth of God. He used to do a lot of bhakti, a lot of devotion, go to different pilgrimage places in search of God. And because he could not really feel the truth or get the truth, he went from one guru to another guru to another guru in search of truth. And if he found that guru is not really worth it to give him the truth, tell him the truth, he left him and took another one, because he was in search of truth. And as we all know, that truth cannot be told by any human being. It's God, the truth himself, who comes and speaks the truth. That's why God is called truth, because he speaks the truth. And therefore, when Shiv Baba entered in his body, it was at that time he realized the truth of who he was, who God was, how this world cycle spins. Before, he used to ask his gurus, he had so many questions, but he never felt that he got a satisfactory answer from anyone. That's why he was always in search. And therefore, that search ended when Shiv Baba entered in his body. So whatever he wanted to do at that very time, that very moment. This was one of his big specialities too. And thirdly, the moment whatever Shiv Baba told him, child, you have to do this, Baba never questioned why. Baba told him, Shiv Baba told Brahma Baba that will all your property on the name of sisters. Everything, even every single penny, all your property, your land, your buildings, whatever, you will everything on the name of these mothers. the sisters. And Baba never thought, oh, if I will everything on their name, what will happen to me? What about my family? Who will sustain my family? Baba never thought of it. Shiv Baba told him, and immediately he did it without any questions. That was his faith in God. And Baba tells in the Murlis that he did not go hungry. On the contrary, Baba gave him so much. And even before Baba got this Gyan, Brahma Baba, he was a very big philanthropist. Whoever came to his house or to his shop or wherever they met him, and if they asked something from him, Baba would give immediately, not think twice too. There were many parents who would come to Baba and say, we want to get our daughter married and we need money. We are not able to provide that much money for the marriage and for the dowry, because during those days so much dowry was to be given to the girl whom the parents would get married. And therefore, just to give dowry to the girl, they used to come to Baba and ask for money, and Baba used to willingly give. Anyone who came to his house never went empty-handed. Baba would always give. He would always be giving, giving, giving. That's why we say, who is Devta? Devta means a deity, but Devta, it comes from the word Dev. It means always giving, dana, dana, to give, to give, to give. You know, there are three signs of giving. One is this giving, blessing. This is one type of blessing. You give blessing, you know, to the great people, how saints, they give blessing. And the other type of giving is like this. They elderly people, they'll put their hand on your head and say, God will bless you. So like this is God himself blessing. And this is somebody on behalf of God is blessing you, that God is going, will bless you. And the other is this, you know, also bestowing, giving, giving. You see the hands of Lakshmi, Sri Lakshmi, her hand is like this. Coins coming out from her hand. That means this is also giving. So this sign, and this sign. And what is this sign? What does this mean? Begging, begging, asking. What do beggars do when they're on the street? You see them begging like this. So Baba had that sanskar of giving. And because of that, because of his big heart, he never felt that he lacked anything. So this was his sanskar, right, you know, before Gyan too. And therefore when Shiv Baba ordered him, now surrender all your wealth on the name of these mothers, will all your property. Baba did it instantly, never thought twice. And then, when you all know probably that Gulzar Dadi was the first soul who got the vision of subtle regions. Before that, in the yajna, all those who were surrendered, they used to get visions of Paramdham, golden age, destruction, you know, but not of subtle regions. Gulzar Dadi was the first soul to get a vision of subtle regions. And she saw a world, you know, filled with thousands of moons, light, you know, silvery world. And in that silvery light world, she saw the angelic form of Brahma Baba. Brahma Baba, but in angelic form, filled with light. And when she saw that figure, she was first of all taken aback. She was not understanding what it was, and probably a little bit frightened too because of that light. And she just came down. And Baba asked her what she saw. And she said, "Baba, I don't know. Baba, but it was your figure, your face, but filled it with light. I couldn't understand anything." And then Baba told her, "Okay, go again. Go again. And if you see that figure, ask him, 'Who are you? Who are you?' Because it is Brahma Baba's replica, but in form of light. So what does that mean?" So she went again, and she saw that figure, and asked him, because now she got permission from Brahma Baba to ask. So she asked him, "Who are you?" And that figure said, "I am the perfect form of Brahma, who is in the physical world. I am his perfect form. And after he becomes complete, he will become this one," pointing towards him. "He will become this one. So I am the perfect form of Brahma. Go and tell this to him." So that angelic form gave him the directions to tell Brahma Baba in the corporeal world that your complete form, your perfect form is there in the subtle regions. And you have to become that. Now when Baba came to know about this, that I have my perfect form in the subtle regions, and I have to become that, now this became his aim. I have to become perfect. I have to become perfect. I have to become that. And Baba used to also visualize that perfect form. I have to become that. Before, when, you know, Baba got the vision of Vishnu, at that time he had that determined thought, "I have to become like Vishnu." Because Vishnu gave him a vision and told him or blessed him, "You are the same as me. So you are the same as me. You are going to become this one." And after that, Baba got that, that enthusiasm, "I have to become Vishnu." He used to see himself as four-armed Vishnu, you know, feel like that. "I am going to become Krishna. I am going to become that." The intoxication was so high in him. But then when he got this news that you are going to become a perfect soul, angelic soul, in your perfect form, immediately Baba's intoxication grew. "I have to attain perfection." Because only after he attains perfection can he become Narayan or Vishnu, a deity. So first we are all Brahmins, and then Brahmins become deities. But before we become deities, we all have to become angels. We have to attain our angelic form, and that's our complete perfect form. So Brahma Baba had these qualities. Whatever thought he created, to fulfill it, he fulfilled it. And this is why he was successful in every venture of his. Baba had so much courage. He never lost courage. He never lost hope. You know what we do sometimes? We lose our courage. We lose our hope. And we say, "Oh, I don't think I can do it." But Brahma Baba never thought like that. So these were his original sanskars. Because he was the first soul, And because of that, his sanskars were royal, his sanskars were filled with determination, filled with zeal and enthusiasm, and the sanskar of giving, big heart and determination, that's what made him perfect so soon. And total disinterest for the world. Even before Shiv Baba entered in his body, he had that disinterest. You know, Baba tells in the Murlis that before Baba had a thought that I want to become a sannyasi. He was ready to become a sannyasi. But then he didn't want to get married. He didn't want to lead, you know, a family life like. So he wanted to just renounce everything. Because he used to be in the company of saints and sages and gurus. So he, and read the scriptures. So that was his interest. But then Baba says in the Murlis that one day he watched a film. He went to a theater and watched a film. And Baba told in one Murli the name of that film. It was called Saubhagya Sundari. Saubhagya Sundari, about a beautiful woman and how someone fell in love with her. You know, all the love stories in films. And then after watching that film, that movie, he felt, no, I also must get married. Baba tells this in the Murlis. And that is why, you know, Dadi always would say, cinema. Cinema means sin ki ma. It's the mother of sins. What are these films today which they show? They are the mother of sins. You go to watch a movie, there's lust and anger. That's all in these movies. Lust and anger, nothing else. But Baba saw that film and then the desire to get married came in him. And he got married, led a family life, he had 5 children. But then actually in a way it was definitely a blessing in disguise. Why? Because Baba got so many experiences. You know, there's a story about Adi Shankaracharya. I don't know if you have heard about it. Adi Shankaracharya, the one who established the sannyas religion. The religion of recluses, sannyasis, hermits, you know, leaving the hearth and home and going in the forest, leading a pure life. So Adi Shankaracharya. And the story goes that one day someone came and argued about scriptures with him. He was a very learned man, definitely. But somebody argued, and he used to always win in those arguments. But he was, he was a Bal Brahmachari, that is, he was a complete pure celibate from birth. So that person who argued with him, he said, okay, you may answer all the questions, of the scriptures, you may give answers, but do you have the experience of family life? If you do not have the experience of family life, how can you tell any family man about family experience? You are not a family man yourself. You don't have this experience. You know, people tell us also, family men, they tell us, you don't have any experience of what family life is, what responsibilities are for children and family and everything. You don't know about the world. So we say, well, even though we don't know in this life, because we have never led a family life, we are with Baba, and especially I came to Baba when I was so young and just surrendered to Baba. I don't have that experience of what family people have. But then we are able to, advise to family men. It's not because we have experience, but because the soul has experience from the past births. But then that person argued with Adi Shankaracharya that you don't have any experience of family life. So how can you, tell your experience to family men? Only a family man can share his experience of what family life is and how to be safe in that family life, because you are a sannyasi. So the story goes, I don't know how far it is true, but the story goes that one king, he had left the body at that time. And what Adi Shankaracharya did, he told his people that the soul will leave the body and you keep my body intact and I will come back after 3 days. The soul will come back after 3 days. So what he did, this soul of Adi Shankaracharya left his body and that king who had just died, in his family everyone was crying and all that. But then the soul of Adi Shankaracharya entered in the body of that king. And he became alive again. So everyone was so happy that, the king has become alive again. But then the soul of Adi Shankaracharya went into that body just to get experience of family. Actually, it meant just to experience lust. That's all. So, for 3 days he was there, but his sanskars were very pure like that. But still, just to experience that, he had to take another body. And after 3 days he came back. And they say that he shared what was family life. Anyway, but this must be just a story. I don't know how far it's true. But they do mention in the scriptures. But then Baba says, you don't have to get married to experience family life. Only then you can share your experience to family men. You don't have to do that. Because the soul has experience of so many lives. And in those lives, of course, we must have been family men, no? Family people, householders. But then Brahma Baba was a householder. And he had the experience of family life anyway. So whenever people used to come to him, Baba used to share. Baba tells us in the Murlis that this one is a very experienced person. He has a lot of experience because Shiv Baba entered in his body when he was 60 years old. So 60 years is quite a big life which he led. But then the moment Shiv Baba entered in his body and showed him the golden age world, and told him that you have to establish this world, and also showed him the destruction of Iron Age, immediately this changed Brahma Baba's thoughts at that very moment. And he had total disinterest for the world. But then the concern came in him that how will I establish the Golden Age? Before, Baba used to have these questions. If this is God's creation, if God has created this world, then why is there so much sorrow? There should be happiness in this world because God is the bestower of happiness. There should be complete happiness in this world, but why is there sorrow? And this question he used to ask his gurus. Why is there sorrow then? If this is created by God, God will not give sorrow to anyone. But nobody could give him a very right answer or an answer which would satisfy him. And so this question was always there in his mind. And then when he saw destruction in his vision, after that he had a thought, if this world is going to get destroyed like this, then why did God create this world? Yesterday's Murli also Baba said. People ask, why did God create this world? When did He create? When will the end come? So people ask questions. But Baba has said, there's no beginning, no end. It's only a cycle. There was never a time when there was no time. And never will a time come when there will be no time. Time is always there. It's a cycle. Time is cyclic. Time is not a linear line starting from here and ending here. It is cyclic. So cyclic means no beginning, no end. So, but this knowledge he got from Shiv Baba, and that made him understand everything. But then when he saw destruction, there was total disinterest in his life at that very moment. And those jewels which he was dealing with, he felt that they were like stones. His vision changed completely. And then after that, when he got a vision of golden age, and God gave him this important task that he has to establish that golden age, then the concern came in his mind, how will I establish this golden age? How will I do it? He didn't know that God had his plans. And what were God's plans for the establishment of golden age through him? People got visions of Sri Krishna through him. So that was one of the biggest attraction, and that's why souls were pulled towards Baba. Because whenever they would see Baba, they would not see Brahma Baba in an ordinary form, in ordinary clothes, but they would see him as Krishna. People sitting at home also would get visions. They would get visions of Sri Krishna, and they would want to go near Krishna, and Krishna would go a little far away, and Brahma Baba would be in front of him. That person, and Sri Krishna would say from behind, that if you want to meet me, first go to him. And people used to come looking for this man dressed in white, and they used to come to Baba. Dadi Prakashmani is a very big example of that. How early in the morning she got a vision of Sri Krishna. And she just wanted to go near Sri Krishna, and Sri Krishna would go far away from her. And she wanted to go near him, and he would go far. And then Brahma Baba appeared. And Krishna saying from a distance, I will not be able to meet you like that. You first go to him. But who was him, Brahma Baba? That she didn't know. She didn't know Baba before. But then there was this news in this town that there is a man who has this power, this magic in him, or some miracle he has, that whoever looks at him gets a vision of Krishna. But she didn't know it. And then there was this news in the school, you know, she was studying in school, and in that the girls in the school, they were saying, there is one man, Dada Lekhraj, who if you go to him, you get a vision of Krishna. So let us go. And but Dadi, she was very obedient child of her parents. She said, no, first I will ask my parents if I can go anywhere, because girls were not allowed to go anywhere they wanted. They had to take permission from their parents. But then when she went home in the evening, her father told her, that child, there is a satsang going on in town, and whoever goes to that satsang, and there's Dada Lekhraj there who conducts the satsang, and they say that whoever goes there gets a vision of Krishna. So you go and see yourself. Just go and find out what is happening there. So now this was a coincidence. In the morning she got a vision. In the daytime in school, it was like a talk in the classroom. And in the evening, when she returned from school, her father told her to go and see what was happening. So next day, all the girls went to that satsang. And Dadi especially, she used to share her experience that the moment she saw Brahma Baba, Baba's drishti fell on her, immediately she went into trance. And that experience which she had got the previous day of Krishna in a beautiful garden and dancing, and then she trying to follow him or go near him. So now it was materialized and she could dance with Krishna. So she was in that intoxicated stage for such a long time, sitting in the gathering. And Baba knew this girl. Baba knew her, because Dadi Prakashmani's father was an astrologer. He used to make horoscopes. And from Dadi Prakashmani's horoscope, her father felt that this daughter of mine is going to, surrender her life to Krishna, surrender her life to God. And therefore, she's going to become like Mirabai, who surrendered her life to Krishna. So she's not going to get married. She's going to lead a very celibate life, a pure life, and she will do a great task of God. So this is what he felt from her, horoscope. And therefore he had great respect for her. And Baba knew her father and knew about her, but she didn't know Baba. So when she came down from her trance stage, Baba called her and Baba said that Baba, because Baba had opened a school, you know, a school was being run by Baba for girls. Baba had great respect for females, great respect. And so there was a school for girls, and Baba, it was running under, you know, Baba's administration and Baba's funds. So, you know, in that school, Baba wanted that the girls should get some spiritual knowledge, not just Laukik knowledge. So Baba wanted a teacher who could teach on the Gita. And she, Dadi Prakashmani, used to read the Gita every day. She knew many shlokas at that time. So Baba asked her, can you become a teacher in that school and teach the Gita? Because Baba said that whoever teaches in that school should not teach just for the sake of money, not to get a pay, to be paid for that teaching, but to serve in a very altruistic way, honorary way, and serve the souls and surrender the life to Krishna. So Baba asked her, would you like to surrender your life to Krishna? And she said, let me ask my father. So when she went home and told her father about the whole experience she got, her father said, your life is meant for Krishna. In your horoscope is written, it's for Krishna. So he wrote a letter to Baba and saying that my daughter is her life is for Krishna, and I give her permission to surrender to Krishna. And the next day she came to Baba and never went to school, never went to study. She was there with Baba. In this way, so many came. So that's how the yajna established. And we say at the beginning, three revolutionary acts happened. That's how the yajna started. Brahma Baba didn't know anything, but it was Shiv Baba whose magic worked. Three revolutionary things happened. One revolutionary thing was the visions. And Baba said in one latest Murli that these visions were such a big talk of the town. Everyone would be talking about that. Anyone who goes to Dada Lake Raj, he gets a vision of Krishna. Now this news spread all over the world. You know, in America, there's a Time magazine, which is international news magazine. Only international news comes in that magazine, Time. So in that magazine, there was the news of Dada Lake Raj in Hyderabad, Sindh in India, that there's a man, whoever goes to that man and he just looks at her, that person goes into trance and gets a vision of Krishna. So this became big news in 1936. That was one revolutionary thing happening. And the second revolutionary act was that kumaris and mothers, they came. They used to get visions. Men hardly got any visions. Women got. So that was the second thing. And they used to come to Baba. And then how they surrendered. And Brahma Baba used to say, it's not me, I'm not doing anything. I don't have any powers. I don't think I'm a miracle man, no. I'm just an ordinary person like you. It's not me whose powers are working. It is God Himself. And the third revolutionary act was that all those who surrendered, Shiv Baba told them, now you have to take a pledge, a vow, that we will make our life holy and yogi. We will make our life holy and yogi. And all those kumaris, mothers, whoever have surrendered, they took this pledge that we will make our life holy and yogi. Now when this pledge was taken by them, it became again the talk of the town. And the people in the town whose children were surrendered like that, they revolted and said, oh Dada, how could you make them take a vow like that, a pledge that we will lead a pure and holy life, yogi and holy life. They are so young. And Baba would say, I am not doing it. It's not me at all. And therefore Baba had to face so much opposition at that time. You know, Baba tells in the Murli, especially purity. Where purity comes, there the opposition comes. And therefore, Baba had to face that opposition. But Baba would say, I'm not doing it. It's not me who's responsible. It is God. So He knows best. And therefore, whatever obstacles came, Baba could go through them easily, and that faith led to victory, and how the whole organization came out of it. And also the anti-party, they said these people are being fed from Brahma Baba's money, and for how long will this money last? It won't last for long. So when this money will be finished, then these girls will come back to us. That's what they would say. But after that, the partition took place. India and Pakistan were separated, and Sindh, Hyderabad or Karachi went into Pakistan. And all the Indians who were there, who were Hindus, they fled from Pakistan to India because they were threatened by the Muslims. They were given three options. One was, go to India. If you are a Hindu or a Sikh or, you know, go to India. Secondly, if you don't want to, then become a Muslim here, if you want to live here. And if you don't want to become a Muslim, don't want to go to India, the third option is, get your head chopped off, means killed. And how they came running to Bharat, with no money, everything they left behind, completely empty-handed, leaving all their property there, and came just to, you know, so that they could survive. That's how they came to India. And then, of course, Brahma Baba was there in Karachi with a group of 385 brothers and sisters. And people used to come, the terrorists especially, you know, then they used to ask them, who are you? Which religion do you belong to? And they used to say, we are the servers of God. Baba uses the Hindi word, Urdu word, Khudai Khidmatgar. We are the servers of God. That's our religion, to serve God, to serve humanity. That's our religion. And therefore, how they were so well protected that nothing happened to them. And even after partition for 3 years, until 1947 the partition took place, till 1950 they remained there. And then how Shiv Baba gave them instructions. Shiv Baba told them, now you have to go to Bharat. And Bharat is going to become the world's lighthouse. You have to go on a mountain top, and from that mountain top, you will serve the world through your vibrations, through your mind, and give peace to the world. And that's how this Mount Abu was chosen, which is very close to Karachi. You know? It's not a very high mountain top, not a very low one too. And the safest place in the world, we can say Mount Abu, safest place. How God chose this place. And Baba talks about Mount Abu, that how you have all the memorials here, Delwara Temple, Achalgarh, Kuru Shikhar, all these are your memorials. And Baba chose this place. But when they came here, again so many tests. The first test was the weather here. The winter was very, very cold, very cold, very chilly. Especially December, January, February, or maybe from October onwards, very cold until March. It used to be very cold. Hardly anybody lived in Mount Abu. But then only April, May, June were 3 months which were very good season in Mount Abu. And the kings of Rajasthan, they used to come and have their summer capital in Abu. You know, Jaipur, Jodhpur, Bikaner, all Alwar, these are all little districts of Rajasthan. So there, the summer capital was Abu. And that's why there are so many palaces in Mount Abu, which these kings built for their summer capital. And then of course when India became a republic, that at that time all the kingships were finished in India and they all became a, India became a democratic country. They had to give up their kingship. And then of course there was a ceiling on land. They could not just keep it for themselves. So you see the, in Mount Abu all these palaces are now hotels. Or there are schools. There's one school here, Alwar Palace, which is a palace, but it's a school. So with schools and hostels and hotels are in Mount Abu. That's all. But then only April, May and June. And when July would start, at that time there would be so much rain, July, August, September, that especially the month of August was called the month of disgust. Disgust, because so much rain, over 200% humidity, everything wet, 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 you know, hardly any oxygen to breathe, and very bad weather. So they used to tell Baba, Baba, where have you brought us? This place, and hardly anybody here, very stony land all around, not fertile land. But rain was a lot here, no doubt. So it was like, an oasis in a desert, because all around is desert in Rajasthan. But this place was like an oasis, lots of water here, lots of greenery, no doubt. But then, nothing much. But Baba used to tell them, don't worry children, don't worry. A time will come, Shiv Baba would tell, a time will come when the whole world will come here. The whole world will come here. Right? And they used to wonder how. But Brahma Baba had that determined thought. Yes, the whole world will come here. That's why you notice in the Sakar Murlis that how Baba would say there'll be a queue from Mount Abu to Abu Road. Even foreigners will come here and they will awaken the Kumbhakarnas of Bharat. You know, when Baba used to say in Sakar Murlis, it used to be something out of, mind, that how can such a thing happen? But yes, Brahma Baba had that determined thought. And when he thought, yes, I have to become perfect, I have to become perfect, how Brahma Baba gradually during his last days, especially 1 year, 1968, how Brahma Baba became so detached, so detached, so detached. Anybody would come to him with all, other things of this world, Baba would hear and not hear. So detached he would be. And we could feel that Baba is getting detached. And we all know that on the 18th of January 1969, Baba did everything. Not that detached means he did not finish his responsibilities of the yajna. He gave the murli. Everybody had dinner, he answered all the letters. Not a single letter Baba left pending for the next day. All the letters he answered. And when everything was over, then Baba, how he became perfect. And at the end, when Bab Dada came in the body of Gulzar Dadi, and Dadiji asked Baba, Brahma Baba, that Baba, what was your last stage like when the soul was leaving the body? Then Brahma Baba replied that Shiv Baba was invoking me. Come child, you have to come to me. You have to be my constant companion now. Then Brahma Baba's angelic form was invoking him. Come to me, you have to become me. You are becoming me. And then the third was that, his last karmic accounts with this physical body were being settled. And Baba became totally detached from the body, became completely bodiless. And that time, Dadi Prakash Mani had this thought, let me go to Baba, because it was not very late, it was about 9 o'clock at night. So let me say goodbye to Baba, good night to Baba. And Baba was sitting on his bed, totally detached, bodiless. Shiv Baba invoking him, his perfect form invoking him, ready to leave. And Dadi came. And Dadi Prakashmani told Baba, 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 Baba's eyes were closed. He was sitting on his bed in his room. And Baba, Baba, and she caught hold of Baba's hands. Baba was sitting, you know, with his legs down. Baba, Baba, just to draw attention. And Baba opened his eyes. And just for a second, Baba opened his eyes and gave drishti to Dadi. So hands and eyes, drishti. With that, like Baba willed everything to Dadi Prakashmani without saying a word. And before that, he gave Murli in the history hall. As we all know, that he finished the Murli, Baba finished the Murli and came at the doorstep, you know, of the history hall. And he stood there, everybody was sitting, and he turned back towards the children, bowed before the children and said, okay, may you be bodiless, egoless, viceless. Okay, Baba takes leave. Baba takes leave. Baba never used these words, Baba takes leave. Baba would always say good night, Om Shanti, good night, or good morning, whatever. But not Baba takes leave. So takes leave means goodbye. But nobody realized at that moment that take leave means now Baba will leave the body. Nobody felt. And Baba went to his room and it was a matter of just seconds. And Baba was becoming perfect. So that's how Baba became perfect. And but then Avyakt Bab Dada did give us signals that now service will happen at bird speed. Till now it was only at ant speed. Now it will happen at bird speed. And we are seeing that how after 1969, after Baba left the body, became angelic, Baba's service spread abroad in all countries, and how today the whole world is coming here. We can see it is all what Baba had said earlier. So all the Baba's versions coming true. And we are seeing that ultimately, they all have to come here. They come to the Tower of Peace, bow their heads before the Tower of Peace, and you know, to Brahma Baba, the great, great grandfather. And how Brahma Baba is inspiring us to become like him, perfect as he became. So tomorrow is the day, and we have to take this inspiration and really keep this aim, that I have to become perfect like Brahma Baba. So Bab Saman is your retreat, and in that Bab Saman retreat, let this be your aim too. And yes, Baba can do miracles, anything Baba can do. And we have to wait and see. But we have to become perfect. The world is watching us. We have become very well known now, and they are watching us. Because time is so short, Baba says. They are ready to do the destruction part, but then we have to become perfect. Because only when we are perfect will there be a new world for us. Till then they are waiting for us to become perfect. So tomorrow is the day, and let us make a firm promise that yes, Baba, we will become perfect like you. Okay? Om Shanti. Function.